Here are two new ways to stay connected to issues, etc. Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
I'm just facilitating that energy, but you are doing your own healing in the sense of connecting to the divine and the healing that happens within. It's an incredibly spiritual, prayerful experience for me. It calms the inner part of my being so much that I can tap that deepest place, that core place of who I am. I did a lot of Reiki with my mom when she had cancer, and then ultimately in her final stages, it kind of allowed her to peacefully go. It's not a religion. It's just a practice that assists people in connecting more deeply to the more spiritual soul places within themselves.
That is Sister Madeline Giaforte. She's a practitioner. She's a Roman Catholic nun, but also a practitioner of Reiki, some kind of healing touch, therapeutic touch. She claims it taps into the divine within and brings healing to the body. So, what are the promises that practitioners of Reiki and other kind of therapeutic touch make? Is there something more here than simply, well, I went and there was some massage, if you will, and it relieved my stress, and now I feel better. It relieved some of my symptoms. We're going to be talking about an alternative medicine technique called Reiki here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Robert Velarde will be our guest. He's co-author of the book Examining Alternative Medicine. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We're going to spend some time talking with her about, there's a bit of a controversy swirling around the federal legal challenge to Prop 8, the same-sex marriage proposition, out there in California involving the judge that's hearing the case. We'll bring you up to date with Jennifer Roback Morse a little bit later. We got some audio open lines later in the program as well. And that is based on an interesting story about a man and his daughter and his wife, now divorced. He converted to Judaism. And then after a rather messy divorce, it sounds like, decided to have his daughter baptized in a Roman Catholic church. The mother has reacted by having a restraining order, a rather unprecedented restraining order, issued against him. She could not take his daughter to church, and yet he did, with the press watching. I want your reaction to this story during audio open lines a little later in the program. Our call-in number, by the way, for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc., 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can always Twitter us at IssuesETC. Jennifer Law will be our guest later in the program near the very end to talk about embryo adoption. Robert Velarde is completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's co-author of the book Examining Alternative Medicine. He joins us to talk about an alternative medical technique called Reiki. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be on.
What kind of promise does Reiki make for those who practice and administer it?
Well, Reiki essentially promises relaxation, along with that, some stress relief. Of course, it promises healing or to alleviate healing and sort of a peace that would go with that. I think in conventional Western medicine settings as well, it promises something that's non-invasive. You know, there's a tendency in conventional medicine to turn directly to give somebody pills or do a surgery or something along those lines. And I think Reiki offers something that's very different from that approach, something that is not nearly as invasive, and it's something that can be done quite easily.
All right. What is the theory or perhaps the theology behind Reiki?
Well, Reiki essentially originated in Japan in the 19th century, and it was formulated in the 1920s. And it's derived from a words meaning essentially universal spirit or universal energy or life force. And It's a medical practice that purports to redirect energy forces in the body in order to facilitate healing. Now, this can be done with directly touching the patient, which is usually done, or it might even be done without having to physically touch a patient because you're supposedly dealing with energy that you can redirect and manipulate just by putting your hand near someone.
Is there any truth to this, as far as you can tell, just investigating as an objective observer of the claims of this technique?
Well, of course, I'm approaching it from a Christian perspective, but that certainly doesn't exclude the possibility of being able to try to look at it fairly. I think there's a couple of ways we can look at it. There's a philosophical or ideological approach, and there's also a scientific approach. Now, scientifically speaking, there's no support at all for life energy being the foundation or fabric of the universe that is tied to healing. A lot of times you'll get anecdotal reports from Reiki masters or practitioners that, well, it works. But if you look at the clinical studies that have been done, there was one in 2008 in the International Journal of Clinical Practice that essentially concluded, and I quote here, it says, "The evidence is insufficient to suggest that Reiki is an effective treatment for any condition." Other medical doctors, practitioners have settled some things along the same lines. Stephen Barrett, a medical doctor with a site called Quack Watch, they do tend to come from more of a secular, I guess, metaphysical naturalism sort of perspective. But he's a bit more blunt in his article. He's titled his article, "Reiki is Nonsense." In other words, there's no clinical proof to support this of any kind. So there's the scientific end of it. Philosophically, of course, we can look at it and say, well, what are the worldview underpinnings of something like Reiki in comparison with Christianity or other worldviews? And we see that Reiki is very different. It's certainly not compatible with Christianity.
What is essentially incompatible with the Christian worldview and the Christian faith about Reiki or other forms of touch, therapeutic healing touch that claim to tap into one's own or some inner divine energy?
Well, the presuppositions of Reiki would be that life energy or this life force permeates everything. And what you have there is a very good summary of the worldview of pantheism, that everything is divine and God's energy flows through everything. Now, God, in this sense, is not a personal being. This would be an impersonal life force or energy that's flowing through things. So that would certainly go against the Christian position that God is a personal being and that he's also transcendent. In other words, to paraphrase how C.S. Lewis put it, you might look at it as a painter painting a picture. If we look at the universe as the picture God has painted, we might say that he's put a lot of himself into it, but the painting is certainly distinct from the painter, and we don't get that distinction in pantheism or any of these energy-based sort of alternative medical practices.
So we hear of this, you know, via those who practice it within the pale of Christianity. The woman we heard in our open was a Roman Catholic nun. I think she believes that the God of Christianity is somehow facilitating this healing in those upon whom she practices Reiki. How would you respond to her claim?
Well, you know, certainly there's a variety of practitioners that participate in Reiki, from the example you've given of someone professing to be a Christian who does it, and a broad spectrum of this. I think what it comes down to is a misunderstanding of what Christianity is and what it represents at a foundational level. If you understand that, then I think it's very clear to see that something like Reiki cannot be reconciled with Christianity. It's completely opposite what the foundational views of Christianity are regarding the nature of God, as well as the nature of human beings and the nature of healing. I think there's a misunderstanding going on there as well. And, you know, there tends to be a pragmatic approach to the argumentation used by those who support something like Reiki. They think that, well, if it works, it must be a good thing to do, or, you know, you can't limit God and say he can't work this way. But then you've placed God in a position of contradicting himself, not only his special revelation, which would be the Bible, but also his general revelation and how we've learned to understand how the body functions.
So someone's going to say, look, all we're really doing here with Reiki is trying to harness something that works in any event. It works. People find they feel better. Their symptoms go away. And we can essentially baptize this. We know that it may have its roots in a different worldview. But if it does work, why can't we give God the credit for what's going on here?
Well, certainly that's one of the arguments that you hear. And you hear that as well with different forms of yoga, saying, well, we can make it into Christian yoga or these sort of things. But you're looking at the very underpinnings or the very foundation of something like Reiki, and it can't be divorced from what it claims to be. Life energy is one perspective with this invisible energy force supposedly permeating everything, whereas Christian theism is an opposing perspective that posits a God that's transcendent and personal. You really can't have it both ways. So I think part of the confusion there is really a lack of understanding of what we'd call in logic the law of non-contradiction. It can't be both. You know, it certainly might be possible that this life energy thing is true. But if that is true, then Christianity is not true. Whereas if Christianity is true, then this life energy approach that undergirds a lot of these energy medicine practices can't be true. So they're irreconcilable as far as what they teach. You know, could God work this way? Well, you know, not if he, you know, is against contradicting himself. You know, there are some concerns here. You know, one of the questions, I guess, is, well, what is the harm in it, in something like Reiki?
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, I'd like you to answer that question. What is the harm? I mean, there are people who will say, and I think you're doing a good job of responding to it, there are people who will say, maybe it doesn't help, maybe it does not exactly comport with the Christian faith, but people find that it works, and come on, what's the harm? We'll have Robert Velarde answer that question about Reiki, this alternative touch, therapeutic touch, medical technique. Stay tuned. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made?
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super bee, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
The word impossible this time, there's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
I see Reiki as being life-giving. It definitely flows out of my relationship with God. It's drawn me closer in my relationship with God. For me, Reiki is another form of prayer. It's allowing myself to be a vessel through which God's healing can then be experienced. You can tell when you're facilitating and sharing Reiki with someone that you're not guiding it. There's a higher power that is doing the work. Some people, I think, find comfort in the perceived security of a black and white theology. And Reiki doesn't fit within that black and white theology. There tends to be judgment. There tends to be fear. There tends to be reaction.
That's Lori Lumbee-Schmidt with Authentic Freedom Ministries talking about Reiki. And, well, she says it's God at work when she is exercising this kind of therapeutic touch that Reiki is. We're talking about Reiki. Robert Velarde is our guest. He's completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's co-author of the book Examining Alternative Medicine. That's where Reiki falls, firmly within the category of alternative medicine. By the way, you can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, February the 16th. What kind of questions, comments, experiences you may have with Reiki or with other forms of alternative medical techniques? Our email address, right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us at issuesetc, or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Robert, before the break, you asked the question, what's the harm? Answer that question, if you would.
Well, sure. Well, I think there are a few different areas where it's harmful. I think the first would be if a patient avoids traditional and tested treatment and opts to do something like Reiki instead. That could certainly lead to some serious repercussions if you're trying something that's really not going to do anything for you. I think another aspect is, physical healing is secondary to spiritual healing via Christ. Now, there's a certain pragmatic aspect to it where we need to acknowledge the real suffering and pain that people are going through and be sympathetic in that regard. But I think, putting physical healing above spiritual healing is a mistake when it comes to something as significant as, our eternal destiny. I think as well, it harms the truth and our ability to discern it. And I think that is probably one of the most important things to keep in mind. And by extension, if somebody's claiming to be a professing Christian and practicing something like this, it harms the Christian cause because we are setting up people to be confused as to who God is and what his nature is if we're positing something that is diametrically opposed to the traditional Christian view of God. And I think also there are some potential occult elements going on here. I think that harm is probably secondary, but it's certainly a possibility when people start trying to manipulate some invisible esoteric sort of energy and directing it and moving it and getting in touch with it somehow, you're certainly within the realm of occult activity.
Talk more about that, if you would. Explain what you see as the connection between occult activity and something that some might consider harmless as therapeutic touch or healing touch.
Well, even some of the material that you had quoted that somebody had said earlier, it's sort of like, well, God is directing it. You can tell that some force is moving this or something along those lines. Well, you could say the same thing about somebody playing with a Ouija board, Either it's some kind of placebo effect and people are just feeling better by the fact that they're being still for a while and somebody's being sympathetic with them about their condition. Or it could certainly be more than that. It could be some occult activity influencing them. And it certainly would not lead them to the truth of Christianity. It's going to lead them away from it into a worldview that is far more pantheistic, that will lead to people thinking that they're divine themselves if followed to its logical conclusions. So you have the occult element that will lead people away from Christ, not to him.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have said that Reiki and other kinds of alternative medicine are superstition. Are they right?
Well, it depends on what the particular practice is. Alternative medicine these days encompasses all kinds of different things. And if we look historically, there are practices that are involved today in what we would consider conventional medicine that were at one time in history considered alternative. The whole aspect of even washing hands to make sure you don't infect accidentally other patients, that was considered an alternative practice not that long ago, historically speaking. So I think we have to be careful with, I think, labeling these things and be more astute, I think, at analyzing the underlying presuppositions of these perspectives, if there are any worldview implications that they're tied to. You know, is Reiki a superstition? Well, you know, you have to define what superstition is. It's certainly not a bona fide, tested method. In fact, the tests that have been done are against it. So in that regard, you know, it's certainly not a viable medical technique. I think, as well, we need to keep in mind that God's healing within Christianity is not a technique. You know, it's not something that we can show people, this is how you do it, and you can be a master of Christian healing. That's just not how it works within the Christian framework. You know, God chooses to heal or chooses not to heal, and we have no control over his sovereignty and his ability to heal someone. Certainly we can't put our hands on somebody and think that he's going to heal someone 100% of the time. Now, that's not to say that, you know, the practice of laying on the hands in the Christian teaching is something we shouldn't do. You know, we're told to do that, but we're told to do that specifically within the framework of God being in control of the theistic worldview supporting that belief, and of prayer being us requesting of God, not telling him or manipulating him in any way.
What other kind of alternative medical techniques are built upon a similar or identical worldview as to that of Reiki? Give us just the short list, if you would.
Sure. Well, there's a whole tradition of that in Chinese medicine and other practices, but the short list could include therapeutic touch, which is really a misnomer since they don't physically touch the person. They kind of hover their hands over them. There's Qigong, applied kinesiology, touch for health, polarity, aura cleansing, shiatsu, yoga. I mean, the list goes on. The essential underpinnings of a lot of these practices are the same. There's energy flowing through everything. We have these seven main chakra points or meridian points or different areas in the body, supposedly, where we can feel and move this energy around. So that would be the short list.
And where does the line get drawn between that and what some people might call shiatsu, what some people might call Reiki, but it ends up just being someone going in for essentially a massage?
Right, and that's true as well. Certainly you have the kind of muckworld westernization of some of these practices where you might go into a yoga place or a shiatsu place and there's really nothing at all there, at least overtly, that is tying it to an Eastern practice. You know, I would say in cases of something like shiatsu, you know, you're going in to get a massage, you're not necessarily buying into the whole worldview. You're not going in there thinking, oh, my goodness, I need to have my, you know, chakras fixed and my meridians aligned and my energy in balance. I just, you know, you're just wanting to get a massage. I certainly don't think there's a danger in that. There's a danger in trying to perpetuate the reasoning for why these practitioners claim these things work. And we do need to be careful in that regard. And as Christians, we have a responsibility not to fall into these kinds of errors that might lead other people, other Christians, astray, and they might become fascinated, for instance, with some of these teachings and end up in, you know, following pantheistic worldview as opposed to a worldview where Christ is at the center.
Finally, then, we heard the practitioners of Reiki both say that they feel that Reiki is simply another form of Christian prayer. With 1 minute, the basic difference between Christian prayer and its relationship to healing, divine healing, and Reiki.
Well, Christian prayer is certainly an aspect of humility. We are creatures. We are limited. We don't have these unlimited powers or connections to a life force. We are, you know, before a holy God who is transcendent, who is sovereign, who is loving, who can choose to heal us or not. When it comes to physical healing. And I think there's a submissiveness there happening in Christian prayer that also is not coming down to a technique. It's coming down to a request and asking God the Father for healing as opposed to turning it into a technique that we can control and manipulate. And I think that's the key difference. God is not the cosmic bellboy of healing.
Let's take a quick phone call here. Would you mind staying with us for a minute or two on the other side of the break, Robert?
Sure.
All right, a quick phone call from Jim in Pascal, Washington. Jim, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hi, good morning, pastors.
I have a question. Can the practice of alternative healing be valid even if the descriptors used by Eastern philosophy aren't?
That's a great question. Now, we'll get the response to that question on the other side of the break. Robert Velarde will be with us for a few minutes. On the other side, we're talking about the alternative medical technique called Reiki. Robert Velarde has completed graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's co-author of the book Examining Alternative Medicine. After our short continuation of our conversation, a response to Jim's question from Washington, Dr. Martin Noland will join us on this Tuesday, February the 16th. We will remember, along with much of the church, 16th century reformer Philip Melanchthon. He is the principal author of at least several of the books in the Lutheran Confessions, and no mean lay theologian himself. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us after that to give us an update on the federal legal challenge to California's same-sex marriage ban. Prop 8 is what they call it. Audio open lines, I'd like your reaction. We're going to play for you an ABC News story about a man who baptized his daughter, but he did it after having converted to Judaism to make his wife's family happy after their divorce, and the wife subsequently got a restraining order against him. Can't take her to church, but he did. I want your reaction to that story during audio open lines in the second hour of Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Last year, the Obama administration linked pro-lifers with domestic terrorism. A one-time mistake? No, it happened again. University of Wisconsin Hospital decided to do late-term abortions in a new abortion mill. Pro-lifers planned to protest. The Department of Homeland Security admitted they violated their own guidelines by collecting information on local groups on both sides of the abortion issue. Not only was the information inappropriately gathered, the Obama administration shared it with security people in Wisconsin and the local police. When the dirty deed was uncovered, attorneys for pro-lifers asked the police for a copy of the report but were refused. Mr. Obama clearly has a different view of what America should be. Pro-lifers are in the crosshairs of the administration.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes with Robert Velarde talking about an alternative medical technique called Reiki. Then, Dr. Martin Noland will join us. We'll talk about the 16th century reformer and a lay theologian, Philip Melanchthon. Before the break, Jim from Washington called with the question, can the technique be valid if the descriptors, that is, how the technique, what happens in the technique is described, if the descriptors aren't accurate? Your thoughts there.
Well, I think that's a very good question, and certainly we don't want to jump the gun and condemn anything that's different than what we're used to as far as conventional medicine is concerned. I think the question behind the question there is, are we missing something? In other words, is there something that might make the practice of something like Reiki actually true but we're not describing it the right way, or we're describing it in terms of Eastern medicine when really there might be another basis for it, say, in medicine or something of the sort. Well, maybe we are, but if we're missing a whole series of things that would need to be necessary for something like Reiki to be true, it falls into one of the categories I discuss in my book, Examining Alternative Medicine. We have four categories broadly where we divide these different practices, and one of them is the category we've called Everything You Know Is Wrong. And certainly Reiki would fit that descriptor. In other words, in order for Reiki to be true, for us to buy into everything it claims and can do, everything that we really know about conventional medicine and medical treatment and human anatomy in the body is wrong. And that's a lot to swallow in order to accept a practice like Reiki as being true. We've had thousands of years of medical knowledge and practice and advancements, and nothing in contemporary terms points to something like Reiki being true. So then I think it becomes a matter of weighing the evidence that we have at hand. And here the burden of proof is certainly on the Reiki practitioners to show that this is viable. And they have not met that burden of proof. And in fact, the conventional knowledge that we have goes against everything that something like Reiki is. But we do need to be careful about making snap judgments about some of these practices. And, is there something to them that we just don't know yet? Well, certainly that's a logical possibility, but given the weight of evidence and human knowledge in the area of medicine and science, Reiki does not measure up by any means.
Robert Velarde is completing graduate studies at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's co-author of the book Examining Alternative Medicine. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.